The world's oldest bank is failing. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. Italian bank Banca Monte de Paschi is the world's oldest surviving bank, founded in 1472. And as we've been reporting, it is in trouble. There's now news that the European Central Bank says Monte de Paschi is $9.2 billion short on capital, a lot more than previously thought, and its cash reserves are draining. Monte de Paschi has asked the Italian government for help, as in for money. With more, here's BBC's business correspondent Theo Leggett.
Monte de Paschi is crippled by billions of euros worth of bad loans, which are in arrears or may never be repaid. Earlier this year, stress tests carried out by the European Central Bank revealed that it lacked the resources to withstand a severe financial shock. Last week, the lender admitted it had failed to raise 5 billion euros in new capital from the private sector and had requested support from the Italian government. The ECB has now calculated that it actually needs 8.8 billion euros. The government has already set aside 20 billion euros to support the banking sector as a whole.
And let's do the numbers. Markets are open today, but barely, not doing a whole lot. FTSE's up 0.6%. The Nikkei is down, but barely, 0.3%. Dow futures are barely up, 0.1%. S&P futures are up 0.4%. And the Nasdaq is up almost, Nasdaq futures are up almost 1%. About 40% of private sector workers in the U.S. do not have the luxury of being able to call in sick, or at least call in sick and still get paid. But starting in the new year, federal contractors have to start offering their employees up to 7 days a year of paid sick leave. This comes out of an Obama administration executive order, and it's expected to affect nearly 600,000 workers who currently have no sick days. But as Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports, this benefit could disappear before it even starts.
Many large federal contractors already offer paid sick leave, but some smaller firms, especially in service industries, worry about their profits. Attorney Jim Murphy with Ogletree Deakins says paid leave can be expensive.
If you are adding another 7 paid days of leave, it doesn't sound like an insurmountable burden, but that's about a 2-3% increase in labor costs.
This benefit applies to contracts after January 1st. Another headache for employers, says Josh Alloy, a lawyer with Arnold Porter, is figuring out just who qualifies.
It's easy if an employee, if all they're doing is dedicated to servicing that particular contract, but where it gets a little trickier is where an employee may spend part of their time doing just general private commercial work.
While there's some teeth gnashing from contractors, this is an executive order, and those can disappear fast. So some companies are waiting to see if President-elect Trump considers this one of those job-killing federal regulations. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
It is a New York City New Year's tradition. Annually, 12 Beefcake Male Fire Department of New York firefighters show off their ripped abs in the department's calendar. This year, the department's female firefighters will join the mix. The FDNY is hoping the calendar will be a recruiting tool for a department that, out of 10,000 firefighters, only 58 are women. The Fire Department of New York is the largest in the country, but it
New York City firefighter Jackie Michelle Martinez is really excited about this year's FDNY calendar. It's dual-sided, with men on one and women on the other.
Beautiful women all 12 months of the year, and in July, you get a surprise. You get two sisters that are female firefighters.
Sitting in the wings at the latest Fire Academy graduation in Brooklyn, Martinez says the FDNY just reached a milestone.
We're at 0.5%. We're almost at a percent of women firefighters.
The national average, though, is about 3.5%. And cities like San Francisco, Minneapolis, and Boulder, Colorado have hit double digits. But for the FDNY, this is progress. Martinez is the department's women's outreach coordinator, a position created last year in a gender diversity push. She's recruiting at schools, on social media, and now through the calendar to let young women know the job could be theirs.
In the five boroughs, sometimes you don't see a woman. So Now, in the calendar, you're seeing women, so you know that they exist.
The department has also hired women to its executive team and installed women's bathrooms and lockers in all firehouses. At a firehouse in downtown Manhattan, firefighter Serenius Rusical says there's another factor the FDNY has to grapple with: workplace hostility. In city council hearings a couple years ago, several female FDNY firefighters said they'd been harassed on the job.
The general attitude is like, why would I want to have a job where, like, my coworkers don't want me there?
Srusical, who's president of the affinity group, the United Women Firefighters, says having female firefighters in the department is an asset.
If it's a medical call and it's a woman naked passed out in her bathroom, I'm the one who gets sent in, you know, and if that woman is comforted by the fact that she sees me over a man, I serve New York City better.
Critics to the gender diversity efforts say few women want to be firefighters anyway. Employment economist Mark Bendick Jr. argues that's not true.
There's a big pool of women who would be interested in fire jobs if the jobs were open to them.
He says many have jobs that require similar skills, like in the military. Bendick, who's done research on female firefighters, says cities shouldn't expect a 50-50 gender split. He says considering interest and physical ability, fire departments should aim to hire about 15% women. That would be enough to fill a lot more FDNY calendars. In New York, I'm Mariel Segarra for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishour, in for David Brancaccio. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Daniel Shin. Our engineer this week is Bill Lance. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.